From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth? You seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you. Woo!
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
From the beautiful tropical Tampa Bay area, this is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 10th of February, 2014. I'm your host, Mark Skogman. On Spectrum 360 in this edition, we are going to have some fun. We're going to have a little bit of fun. We always have fun in this program. Regular listeners of this program know that I like to have fun. We're going to enjoy this program. We've got good content for you, as always. Okay, in segment one, we are going to have an interview live in the studio with John Paul Rosa. John Paul Rosa is a candidate in the city of Clearwater for City Council, Seat 5. We'll speak to him about the Seat 5 election and where he's at with that and where the city of Clearwater is as well. Issues in the city of Clearwater. Segment two, we're going to cover the U.S. House of Representatives election in Florida in Congressional District 13. That's the former Congressional District of Representative Bill Young, who held that office for about 43 years. Can you believe it? And then he resigned and died last year. My condolences to his family. And the candidates in that race are Alex Sink, of course, David Jolly, and there's a Libertarian candidate and a write-in candidate as well. But those are the two major party candidates. Lucas Overby is the Libertarian candidate. We're going to have a recap of the debate that happened exactly a week ago today, last week on Monday, the 3rd of February, at the campus, the St. Petersburg College Seminole campus, which is a beautiful campus if you've ever been there. That was where one of Bill Young's offices was located as well. They had a great debate. It was very well produced. Bay News 9 and the Tampa Bay Times co-sponsored it, and all three of the candidates were there. Lucas Overby, David Jolly, and Alex Sink. We've got their opening and closing statements. I've got a segment from an interview or a speech I recorded by Alex Sink last year. It's actually a few months old now. We're going to compare between what she said then and what she said now. Also, there were progressive activists that went to David Jolly's campaign headquarters last week on Wednesday. That was the 5th of February. And they had a very negative reception. One of them was actually physically attacked and thrown out of the room. We're going to have a segment of an interview that was done about that. The name of the man who was attacked was Edwin Enciso. We're going to have his comments about what happened to him there. It wasn't life-threatening, anything like that. It was just an incident. We'll cover that. Also, we're going to speak with Kofi Hunt from the Pinellas Progressives about LegiCamp, which happened this last weekend in Gainesville at the University of Florida. And that's a progressive legislation camp where we discuss bills to put into the state legislature. He'll be on in the second half of the program. And also, we're going to speak about Paula Whithouse's funeral that happened yesterday. She was the progressive activist that was killed on last week on Sunday or Monday. Police are investigating the case, and we're going to be speaking about that as well. And we'll wrap up. If we've got time, we're going to cover the film Monuments Men, which is in theaters now, and I saw Saturday night. Great film. We're going to talk about that as well. So, let's get right to some interesting things here. Now, you know, when it comes to politics, some people actually have, they have kind of a strange attitude about politics, and sometimes, you know, people just get a basic bad attitude about politicians or in politics in general, and sometimes they sound like this.
You imbecile! You bloated idiot!
Oh my gosh. But then sometimes they sound like this.
Well, isn't that special?
Now, we hope to be less cynical than that in this program. You know, the more serious voters, they sometimes sound like this.
You've got to convince me that you know what this is all about, that you aren't just fiddling around hoping it'll all come out right in the end.
That's Humphrey Bogart. You got to love Humphrey Bogart. Yeah, and that's what some voters actually think. You know, some people think that all politicians are bad, or they're imbeciles, or they're idiots, or they couldn't care less, or that they're incompetent. So sometimes that makes candidates feel like this.
Dear, that must be terribly uncomfortable.
Now, Dorothy doesn't have anything to do with politics. I'm not going to drag her into this. But anyway, we're going to get serious here with an interview with in studio here live with John Paul Rosa. Now, John Paul Rosa, as I previewed in the program preview, is a resident of Clearwater, and he's a candidate in the city of Clearwater for City Council Seat 5. And he's 30 years old. Now, John Paul, say hello to our radio audience.
Hi.
And I'm going to get right to it. Now, I understand that you're a Pinellas County native. You were born in St. Petersburg, which is in Pinellas County.
That is correct. Yes,
and you attended and graduated from St. Petersburg Catholic High School.
Yes, sir.
So apparently you're Catholic.
I was at one time, yes, sir.
Oh, I see. Okay. No longer?
No, I'm a Christian now.
I see. Well, I'm a Christian, too. I've never been Catholic, but I know a lot of Catholics. Okay, interesting. So you're actually a hometown boy here.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And then it says that this is off your campaign website on Facebook, that you after high school, you went to Tennessee and went to college there, and you were studying marketing and advertising. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then you joined the Army and went through the military intelligence program with honors. Now, this sounds like, was there a recruiter on campus one day, and you just happened to be there, and you said, be all that you can be, and got you interested and recruited you right off the campus? Is that how it happened?
Well, not quite. Actually, my recruiter was like my cousin, my mother's sister's son, and he happened to be my recruiter and said, "Hey, I can take care of those student loans for you if you join the military. They've got great benefits, and you know it's something to you that you can do to serve your community."
Well, that's great. So you actually had a family connection there then.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Because when I was looking at the biography, I thought, he must have gotten recruited right off of campus, you know, fun travel adventure, and be all that you could be. And then all of a sudden you're in Afghanistan for three tours. That's a lot of tours. Now, they were approximately a year long. Is that correct?
No, each tour was approximately 6 months long.
Well, you know, I'm glad to hear that because, you know, a whole year tour in a foreign country, especially in that part of the world, can be very grueling. And I'm concerned about how many of our military personnel are being stop lost. Now, that's my understanding is that's not as much of a problem as it was, but that's been happening. You know, and there's been so many personnel that have been put through multiple tours. And I just think it's, you know, at some point it's debilitating to have to deal with that just over and over and over. And another thing is, it just doesn't seem to be fair to the military personnel because they're putting all this effort into this, into protecting our country. And here, the vast majority of civilians, a lot of them just ignore what's going on and it doesn't affect their lives whatsoever. And it just seems so uneven. But being that as it may, so you were in Afghanistan and you were in the intelligence corps, correct? Army intelligence.
That is correct.
And you were an analyst?
Yes, sir.
Very interesting. I'm very interested in that kind of work and the military in general, since I'm an amateur military historian, especially when it comes to World War II. So now you're studying business at St. Petersburg College here locally, and you live in Clearwater. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you're also a full-time candidate.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very interesting. Well, you know, I really admire what you're doing. When I was 30 years old, I was not running for office. I can tell you that. I was doing a lot of things, but I was definitely not running for office. So I really respect that. I respect your service to our country, too, and thank you for your service. Three tours, that's a lot. You know, that's probably more than was your share to do.
Yeah, thank you. It was definitely an honor. When I got out from my last tour in 2012, as most veterans here, you know, a lot of people would say thank you for your service, and the common response is that it isn't an honor, or that it is an honor. However, I felt like that was a little too long ago that I had served. It felt good to serve the country and our community, and I want to continue to serve our country and our community. So hopefully this is how we can accomplish that and still stay out of harm's way.
Well, very good. I'm glad to have you on the program. It's been nice to meet you, and I've seen you at multiple events over the last few months, and I've been impressed with your commitment and your campaign, and I like you personally, and you seem to be a very personable candidate. Now, let me ask you, how did you get involved in politics after this kind of biography? You're an Army veteran, you're from this area, you come back, and then what sparked your interest in politics? How did you get involved in that?
Sure. Well, good question. Like I said, when I came back from my last tour in Afghanistan, my plan was to come here and open up a small local business and, you know, grow old on the best beach here in Florida.
Sounds like a good plan. Yeah, just say in your website that you're interested in opening a local learning and recreation center?
Yes, that's correct.
Interesting idea.
Well, the idea was to open up a learning center after school and for children, of course, with the idea of first impressions, meaning that the first impressions people see or are interacting with are typically the ones that last the longest. So if we can get good habits into our children at an early age, hopefully they'll continue to have these good habits throughout their adulthood. Habits conscious, such as energy efficient habits or eating well habits, you know.
Interesting. Yeah, there definitely is a market for that, because as budgets for schools are cut, there needs to be something to supplement that. So that's an interesting idea. Now, why did you decide to become a candidate for city council?
Sure. Well, when I came back and I wanted to open up my small business, I felt a void that, like I was saying earlier, to continue servicing. You know, as a local veteran, everyone, you know, I'm from the area, so people that know me would see me and say, then thank you for my service. But like I said, that was in 2012 when I went on my last tour, and I'm not done yet. You know, I feel like I have more to do. There are some issues that I assumed we as a community would be further along by now that we just aren't. And, you know, instead of sitting by idly, might as well, dig in and jump in head first and see what I can do to serve my community here.
Well, that's great. That's a great attitude, and I really admire that. Like I said, when I was 30 years old, I wasn't running for office. And, you know, we had another young guy that ran for office in 2012. That was Jonathan Michael Snow. He ran for, if I remember, it was U.S. Representative. Yes, it was U.S. Representative, and he's a young guy, too. He's younger than you. So I really admire that. I didn't have the guts to do that when I was your age, and I admire your sense of service and your commitment. That's really great. Now, when it comes to issues in the city, what are your major issues that you're concerned about? What's your vision for Clearwater and how you can improve it? What are your major priorities?
You know, we live in a really great city here in Clearwater. There aren't too many issues that we have. In terms of the issues that affect most of the residents, well, of course, the flood insurance issue that we all have here all over Florida and all over the five coastal states.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely happening.
That's definitely a serious issue that we're having here. In terms of locally, embracing alternative energy is something that I would like to bring to the city. I think that here in the Sunshine State, you know, there's a lot of natural resources that we don't take advantage of. the continual sunshine that we have here all the time is one of them. During my travels overseas, while I was in the service, I got to see other countries embrace alternative energies and achieve so much with so little, all because of how they supplemented.
Very interesting. You know, it's kind of a great coincidence that exactly a week ago today, I was at the Florida Solar Energy Center, which is affiliated with the university in Orlando, and met the director there, who's a doctor, Dr. James Fenton, and he was fantastic. And you know, the really interesting thing, he told us flat out that he's a Republican, and he's just totally for alternative energy. He's the director of the Florida Solar Energy Center. That's a major center for the not just the state or the university, but the entire country.
Wow.
And yeah, it was fantastic. I recommend anybody to go to their website. It's just loaded with information. This man that runs that place knows more about solar power than any single person that I met. Mm. And I want to recommend him to you, because you're onto the right thing there, definitely. That is so important for this state. We're getting beat by New Jersey in solar power. You know,
ridiculous.
Not that there's anything wrong with New Jersey, except maybe the governor. But that's a whole different issue. But what I'm saying is, here in New Jersey, they're doing a serious commitment to renewables and solar energy. They're beating Florida. We have more sunshine than New Jersey. And New Jersey is a great state, but they shouldn't be beating Florida in solar power, in my opinion. Even Germany is beating this country in solar power, and they have far less sun than Florida has. So what is wrong with us in this state where we've got this abundant resource, and we just blow it off and we don't do it? Everybody else is bypassing us. And a friend of mine, who's a city council woman in Seminole, Patricia Planamura, she just went, just a few weeks ago, went to a three-week trip to Germany, where she investigated the solar energy and renewables that they're doing there, and she was very, very impressed. They're ahead of us, and this should not be so. So you're definitely onto something there.
Absolutely, now, it's the next. It's where the entire planet is headed. The sooner we embrace it, the better.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that, because it's also a national security issue. I mean, one of the reasons we've got a lot of troops in the Middle East, I mean, everybody knows that, you know, if we didn't have the energy issues that we did, that we wouldn't have the presence in the Middle East that we do. I think everybody's admitted that by now. You know, even the most recalcitrant people can see this definitely has to do with energy resources. I mean, when it takes just one terrorist to mine the Straits of Hormuz and disrupt oil flow for the whole world and greatly raise prices and create chaos in markets and economies, that is really, really scary. Why not have solar in the Sunshine State? Now, in terms of other issues, I did read on your website today, and I thought it was interesting the way you put it. You said, you know, that the election in the city is not just about the beach in downtown. Of course, those are very major factors in this area, and you can't ignore them, obviously. They're the major parts of the economy. But obviously, neighborhoods and the residents that outlying areas are part of the city too. And I was really impressed that that you didn't forget these people, that you said, you know, we've got to include these people as well. It's not just about the big projects and the things that get all the attention, but the neighborhoods and the local economy too. What's your perspective there? How do you like to improve things in Clearwater in terms of neighborhoods and the economy and things other than what are related to the beach and downtown?
Great question. Thank you for asking. Well, I feel like a lot of, and this has to do with the fault of my generation. You know, we've been called the silent generation for a reason. A majority of us don't go out and vote. You know, of those my age, 30 years and around that age group, don't typically go out to vote on certain issues, especially in local politics. What others in my generation don't typically understand is that all politics are local and all change starts at home. Hopefully.
Great quote.
Hopefully seeing.
All politics are local. Remember that, people. Right. That was great.
The younger generation that we have here in the area will see me and be inspired to get involved, to speak up on issues that I'm speaking up on, that, you know, we all, that is common sense by this point.
Very good. Very good. I appreciate your take on that. John Paul Rosa does have a Facebook website for his campaign. So you can go to facebook.com and search for his name. You'll find his website. There's more interesting comments and information there. And, mail-out ballots are out in Pasco County, Pinellas County. I used to live in Pasco, you can tell, right? In Pinellas County. So you have the opportunity to vote for candidates in the county right now, all the way up till March 11th, which is the final day of the election cycle. So take advantage of those mail-in ballots. I did see on your website today that some people have already voted for you, are saying so. Hey, I already voted for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. This previous election that we had in Pinellas at the St. Petersburg municipal elections, the election was pretty much decided by the from the mail-in ballots. So we're expecting a huge mail-in ballot turnout.
Very interesting. And that, I think it's conventional wisdom that that actually favors people that are more liberal in mm-hmm. their persuasion on political issues in terms of the mail-in ballots, but not always. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic happens. I did read an article in the St. Petersburg Times from December that since the congressional District 13 race is also on the ballot, mm-hmm. that they're expecting a higher turnout because that tends to pull people in to vote in the local races, you know, more than they would normally happen in a non-presidential election year. So that's a thing in your favor, and I think a thing that's in everybody's favor is that more voter participation is going to happen in this election. So that's really good. Jonathan Paul Rosa, or excuse me, I did it again. John Paul Rosa, excuse me, he's going to hit me later. Thank you for appearing on Spectrum 360. Interest in your candidacy, and you know, based on everything I've seen and meeting John Paul Rosa, Spectrum 360 is going to endorse John Paul Rosa in this race for seat 5 in City of Clearwater for City Council. So you have my endorsement, definitely.
Thank you, Mark.
And good luck. I hope you do win, and I hope you'll come back on Spectrum 360 when we've got more time to spend.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, we'll be back in a moment with another segment on Spectrum 360.
Okay, maybe it's the papers, maybe it's the family, maybe it's the internet, radio, TV, maybe it's the president, maybe it's the last one, maybe it's the one before that. Maybe it's the athletes, maybe it's the ads, maybe it's the sports fans, agents, fads, maybe it's the homeless, aliens, immigrants, maybe it's life.
Okay, that was John Paul Rosa. Hey, I said his name right the first time that time. He's going to put a hand grenade in my mailbox or something for calling him Jonathan. Okay, Mark, get the names right. Okay, we're going to go to the next segment on Spectrum 360. And I've got an interview that I did with Alex Sink that I'm going to play now. We're going to contrast this with what she's saying in the debates compared to what she said previously in November. This is Alex Sink.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the opportunity to win that seat right now. And here's how that's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Alex Sink.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. You are the most welcoming group of people. And I'm here to report a little bit on the momentum we've already got going. As you know, we got into the race October the 30th, a mere 10 days ago. So I was in St. Petersburg on Tuesday night with Amy Foster, with Darden Rice, with Rick Greisman. Oh, my gosh. What a fantastic night for Democrats, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we have just got to... And it was a fantastic night because of you. These races are not won just willy-nilly. They're won because our grassroots activists and our Democrats all over this county were working really hard to get those votes out. And we had three fantastic candidates. So a lot of people asked me in the media, they said, well, is this a Republican thing or a Democratic thing? And I said, I don't think it was. I think it was about which candidate had the best vision for the future of St. Petersburg. And hands down, that was our candidate. And we're going to carry that on in this congressional race. Now, as you know, March the 11th, brand that, March the 11th, absentee ballots will be mailed out for this race February the 4th. That is like 90 days from now. So we are going to have to bottle up all your enthusiasm. We're celebrating today, but beginning tomorrow, we got to work towards March, February the 4th, really, when the ballots come out. So we've already got our office location is on Olmerton Road, and we mark this down Saturday, November the 23rd. Saturday, November the 23rd, we want everybody there. Big celebration. You'll get, let Nick Janofsky has joined the campaign. Nick is here. So all that energy and knowledge that he got from Darden Rice is going to carry right over to our campaign. Some of you have already met Ashley Walker, who managed President Obama's statewide winning campaign, is going to be our campaign manager. And we're in the process of putting together the winning team, because you all know me. I've only run for office twice before in my life. You elected me as your chief financial officer.
Yep.
And the people of this district elected me as their governor. Yeah. So let's just carry that forward. I don't get in races unless I know how to win. And we're going to win this. And the important reason is because you need a representative in the halls of Washington that represents your values, that represents what you care about, and I can be that effective advocate. And I need you to tell your friends and neighbors that. And I'm going to be all around this district. Be sure you let Nick know about things going on and events and places I need to show up. And, you know, I was at the Panera Bread today, and some guy waved his hand and said, "Alex, happy birthday to the wife of a Marine," because today, who knows it, today is the Marine Corps birthday. I got a Arua back there. We'll be going to many Veterans Day events tonight and also tomorrow. So I'm not going to be a stranger here. I'm going to work really, really hard because the stakes are high. We need a Congress that's responsive to the people, that understands that if you shut down the government, it hurts small businesses. Yep. It hurts people that get furloughed. It hurts people. And we can't, for what? For what purpose? So I'm going to go to Washington to be your fighter and to be your neighbor. Thanks so much, and I'm very excited about this race.
Alex Sink!
All right, a very enthusiastic crowd for Alex Sink. Now, that was actually from Sunday, the 10th of November, 2013. That was a few months ago. And now, after the break, we're going to play excerpts from the debate that happened exactly a week ago today on February 3rd with all three of the candidates there at the debate. More Spectrum 360 in 5 minutes.
Then we invented the fun.
The 110th Florida State Fair, February 6th to the 17th.
It's the first place for fun.
More than 100 rides.
And new ones.
And more roller coasters.
Yahoo! Plus, with an armband, you can discover unlimited midway rides.
Get discount state fair tickets and save on armbands for a limited time only and only at participating Walgreens.
Get discount tickets and get a discount armband. Wear it with pride, because you can't have pride without R-I-D-E.
Have you or someone you love been told that you have high blood pressure? If so, you're not alone. Over 67 million Americans have high blood pressure. Here's the good news. You can learn how to lower your blood pressure with no medications by tuning into the Lower Your Blood Pressure radio show Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. with Dr. John Barrett and his fantastic guests. Call in with your questions and get fast answers. It's easy. Lower Your Blood Pressure, Thursdays at 2 p.m., only on the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're talking to Donato. He's the owner and operator of Cafe Milano, an authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant. What do you mean when you say you have authentic Italian food?
Authentic because I learned all the simplicity, the authenticity of simple but powerful flavor. And it's authentic because we use only the ingredient imported from Italy. We are opening 11 o'clock in the morning till 11 at night, Monday till Saturday, and Sunday we open 12 to 10 o'clock at night.
And you have beer and wine.
Beer and wine, beautiful imported Italian beer, Peroni, white wine, Pinot Grigio, Chardonnay, or the traditional red, which are the Merlot, Montepulciano, Chianti, and Pinot Noir.
I can't recommend it highly enough. It's Cafe Milano, located at 105 North Fort Harrison in Clearwater, Florida. Phone number 305-519-6910. Mention Tan Talk Radio Network and get free ice cream. Thank you, Donato.
Grazie.
Have you been scammed or received poor customer service? Did a business or person take advantage of you? Would you like to learn how to protect yourself? Then tune in every Thursday night at 11 for the Half Empty, Half Full radio show. We'll help you learn what to look out for and how to protect yourself. Contact us on Facebook at Half Empty, Half Full radio show on 1340 AM Tan Talk. And if you have a story idea, call us at 813-500-6064 during business hours. It's the Half Empty, Half Full radio show, Thursday nights at 11 on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tan Talk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is John Austin, host of Tan Talks The Book Club, a program that spotlights undiscovered authors and their books. If you are a published author and feel that your book has not had the exposure it deserves and you would like to be considered for a guest spot in the book club, email your name, the title of your book, along with a brief synopsis of the book to bookclub1340@gmail.com. Be sure to include your contact information. And
be sure and join me, John Austin, on The Book Club every Tuesday morning at 10 on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
For all your home repair needs, call Ed's Handyman Services at 727-224-8681. For example, toilets, faucet, door locks, and much, much more. Impeccable quality work and reliable real-time service at an astonishing affordable price. Ed provides a clean, safe work environment from start to finish. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Ed guarantees all his work. So call Ed now at 727-224-8681.
Tune into the Liberty Underground Radio Show Fridays from 10 to 11 a.m. on Tan Talk 1340. Listen to Alex, Danielle, and Greg and get your dose of radical libertarianism before they find a way to lock us up and throw away the key. That's the Liberty Underground Radio Show Fridays from 10 to 11 a.m. right here on Tan Talk 1340.
To find out more, go to 1787network.com. 1787network.com. That's the numerals 1787network.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And that is Life is Hard by John Mellencamp. This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 10th of February, 2014. I'm your host, Mark Skogman, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Clearwater, Florida. Oh, I love that when he says that. He goes, good to be saved. What a way to end a song. What a way to end a rock song. You know, it's kind of interesting. But anyway, wasn't that interesting? John Paul Rosa was our guest for the first segment in the program. And he, again, he's running in the city of Clearwater for city council in seat 5. 30-year-old man. He's already a 3-tour veteran of Afghanistan and the U.S. Army in military intelligence. Now, some people think that's an oxymoron. That's an old joke. But I honor and respect his service, and I thank him for it. And now he's interested in serving his community in the city council. More power to him. We endorse him for that office on Spectrum 360. Okay, we're going to get right to it. I have a segment from the debate that happened a week ago today, sponsored by Bay News 9 and the Tampa Bay Times. It was conducted at St. Petersburg College on the Seminole campus. That's a beautiful campus. Very nice. That's where Bill Young had one of his offices. And they had a debate there. These are the three candidates that have made it through the elections so far. The Democrat, Alex Sink, Republican, David Jolly, and Libertarian, Lucas Overby. And this is their opening statements and what they said at the debate.
We are going to start things off with a one-minute statement for each candidate, and we're doing this in alphabetical order, which means at the end of the program, that order will be reversed, beginning with David Jolly. Mr. Jolly, you have 1 minute.
Thank you, Al. Folks, I've had the opportunity to work on behalf of the people of Pinellas County for nearly 20 years, most of that alongside our late Congressman Bill Young. Now I'm asking for the opportunity to follow him in the United States Congress. My opponent and I have two very different views of government, and it's good we have an opportunity to talk about that tonight. I believe we must empower families and individuals to make decisions for themselves. She believes government can make decisions for us. I believe in less taxes, fewer regulations on entrepreneurs. She believes in higher taxes, more regulations on entrepreneurs. We also disagree on representation. I'm from Pinellas County. I was born in Dunedin. I live in Indian Shores. I pay property taxes here. I pay property insurance here. My opponent moved to Pinellas County for one reason: to run for Congress and further the agenda of President Obama. I'm running for Congress to defend the people of Pinellas County.
Thank you, Mr. Jolly. Now, Mr. Overby, you have 1 minute for your opening statement.
Thank you, Val. Since the beginning of our campaign a year ago, our primary focus has been to try to bring back into the fold the so many voters of this district who have abandoned the fight, who have felt disenfranchised and left out of the process. So for the past year, we've reached out, we've made bonds in the community, and we've tried to further the goals of the entire district. I've been very happy and very proud to get to bring their concerns and their solutions to a much larger stage than they otherwise would have been. While I do agree with several aspects of both of my opponents, we have grave differences, and I look forward to getting to discuss those this evening and come to as best a solution as we possibly can. Thank you.
Mr. Overby, thank you. Ms. Sink, you now have a minute for your opening statement.
Thank you. I want to thank the sponsors for tonight's event, and also thank you, the listeners at home, for listening in. I'm running for Congress because, like you, I am sick and tired of the dysfunction in Washington. The partisanship, the bickering, the power of the special interest, just seeming that there's no common sense there and a desire to get things done. I have a long history as a businesswoman. I served you as your elected chief financial officer, and during that time, I brought Republicans and Democrats together to solve problems. Problems like, how do we support our small businesses so they can grow jobs? How do we protect Social Security and Medicare for this generation as well as future generations? Also, how do we ensure that our veterans receive the benefits that they've earned? These are the issues that I'm going to be working on, and I would be so proud and pleased to be able to serve as the voice of the people of Pinellas County in Washington.
All right, just give a round of applause for our three candidates, if you would.
Okay, that was Alex Sink, Lucas Overby, and David Jolly at the debate 1 week ago giving their opening statements. So you can contrast that with what Alex Sink was saying in November of last year and what she's saying in the debate last week. Along with the other candidates, it's interesting. Lucas Overby is a young man as well, very similar to, similar age to John Paul Rosa. And I've been impressed with him. Although, you know, there's sometimes when he's just factually incorrect in some of the issues, he's really got passion for what he's doing. And I respect a young man running for Congress at that age. That's a real gutsy thing to do. And David Jolly, in the debate, said as much. And he said that he respected the other candidates for being willing to run because it's a difficult thing to do. Now, I also want to play the closing statements so you can contrast that with the opening statements for each candidate and how they compare and contrast with each other in the closing of the debate, because these are basic values and basic summations. So it gives you a sense of where each candidate is at and how they compare with each other. Here's the closing statements.
We've arrived at the closing part of our program. We're going to have our closing statements. Again, you'll have 1 minute each to give us your best pitch possible. We're going to go in reverse alphabetical order, which means, Ms. Sink, you have a minute now for your closing statement.
Thank you, Al. And thank you all for listening, especially the viewers at home who have a very important decision to make on March the 11th or before if you vote early. You've heard tonight enormous differences between myself and my position and my opponents. But the important thing to remember is who is going to represent your interests in Washington. I'm running for Congress, as I said, to bring Republicans and Democrats together and to help break the logjam there. But really, I'm not going to be the voice of special interests. I'm going to be your voice. I've been all over this district talking to teachers and small business owners and restaurant owners and seniors who care deeply about the protecting Social Security and Medicare. Those are the issues I'm going to focus on. Solving this flood insurance issue, please, I would be honored to serve as the Congresswoman from Pinellas County. I'm asking for your support, and I need your vote.
Mr. Overby.
Again, over the last year, we've taken our time to meet with as many people as possible in this district and to really form a platform based around their needs and the solutions they want to see happen. Alex is right. There is a very large difference between all three of us. And I think a lot of that difference rests in the fact that I'm not a part of the political machine in Washington. I have no party to answer to. We will go up. We will get done what needs to be done to deliver the solutions that the people of Pinellas County want. And that is a promise.
Mr. Jolly.
Sure. I want to thank the moderators. Thank St. Petersburg College. I thank the Tampa Bay Times, Bay News 9. I want to thank the other candidates in this race. It is not easy to put yourself up for elective office, but we have chosen to do so. I admire Alex for her spirit of bipartisanship. It's something we share. I had the opportunity to work alongside Mr. Young, who taught us you can take your core convictions to Washington and recognize that you still have a responsibility to work with Republicans, Libertarians, Independents, and Democrats. We had a primary race where the hardest hit on me was the fact that I had actually worked with Democrats. I will continue to do that in Washington, but there is a very different opinion on the view of government, one that supports President Obama and big government notions like Obamacare, or one that believes in the individual and families, less taxes, less regulation, and believes in empowering the people right here in Pinellas County. My name's David Jolly, and I'm asking you to support me for the United States Congress.
And now, before we do anything else, please tell us what your websites are, because we know this has to come up along the line. Mr. Jolly?
DavidJolly.com.
Funny how that works. Mr. Overby?
LucasOverby.com.
Alex?
AlexForCongress.com.
Thank you so much for being with us. And now let's have a round of applause for our candidates.
Okay, there you have it. They're the opening and closing statements of all three, shall we say, major party candidates. There's also a write-in candidate, and I'm sorry, I do not remember what his name is, but I've been hearing about a write-in candidate as well. Now, we're going to have a brief segment here about what happened as the aftermath of the debate, and then in a couple minutes, we're going to have Kofi Hunt on the air. He's a organizer with Awake Pinellas. He's going to briefly cover what happened at Legend Camp this weekend. We'll have him on in about 2 minutes. Now, I wanted to go just briefly to a brief segment. What happened last week on Wednesday, this is 2 days after the debate, there were progressives that were upset about the fact that David Jolly, during the debate, stated that he wanted to basically end or voucherize Social Security and Medicare, and they were upset about that. So they went to his office on Wednesday, that was the 5th of February, at 10 a.m., and told him in no uncertain terms that they do not want that kind of a position on those issues. And there was some conflict. And one of the activists that was there to confront David Jolly about his position on this issue was bodily taken out of the office. And his name was Edwin Enciso. Now, I know him as a very peaceful, very nice guy. It's hard to believe that Edwin Enciso, as I know him, would be treated in that way, because he's just not that kind of guy if you've ever met him. You know, he's very personable. He's very organized. And, you know, he's not a militant. You know, he didn't come in to attack the office, but he was attacked himself. So I want to go to a segment of that does feature what he said in an interview with WMNF. Now, this was not broadcast in this radio station. It was WMNF, which is 88.5 FM. And this is what he said on that program.
Edwin Enciso is with the progressive group Awake Pinellas. He's the man who was forcibly pushed from Jolly's campaign office by a staff member.
I've walked with people into candidates' offices expressing complaints or concerns, and I have never had a member of their staff literally grab me and shove me by the neck simply because he was trying to give us an instruction. What I'm used to is having professional staff who say, we don't want cameras in the building. And that's fine. You can say that, but you don't have to grab me or my equipment. You have to just give me an instruction, and I can follow that instruction.
Okay, that was a comment by Edwin Enciso, who was manhandled at David Jolly's campaign office on Wednesday, the 5th of February. That was from the WMNF Drive Time News, and the reporter was Janelle Irwin, the brief segment. So that's what happened there. So you got to contrast it with the fact that the Dream Defenders occupied the governor's office, and they were not dragged out of the office by their necks. And here, David Jolly's representatives, he's not even a congressperson yet, and while he's a candidate, they're dragging people by their necks out of the office. What do they think they are? I don't know. It raises some questions in my mind. Anyway, an interesting incident. Okay, we're going to go to Kofi Hunt, who is a member of Awake Pinellas, among other things. He's an activist, and he's an organizer, and a great guy. I've known him for a while, and I really respect his activism, his involvement in the community, and what he's doing to make Pinellas County and St. Petersburg and the environs in the surrounding area a better place. And he's going to speak to us about Legicamp. Kofi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, everybody.
Great. Now, Legicamp happened in Gainesville at the University of Florida this last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, two very different days of activism. Now, the actual Legicamp day itself was on Saturday. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Saturday was Legicamp, and then the Sunday, the PCCC, they came down to do an issue organizing training.
Interesting. Now, could you just describe what happened that day and what the result of all this was? Because this was a whole day of activism and organizing and deciding on issues and deciding on what priorities there should be and what bills should be filed with the legislature from the view of progressives. Tell me how that day went and what the result of all that was.
Yeah, basically, a bit before the conference, people submitted proposals for projects they'd like to work on. The projects were based around bills, either to support certain bills or to fight against other bills. And, you know, a lot of it was really strong in supporting certain initiatives. We looked at Medicaid expansion. We looked at some of the Saver Spring things people would like to look at, fracking and build against those certain measures. We also looked at right to restoration, and then we also looked at equal treatment for people of different sexual orientation. And we looked at equal rights amendments. So those projects were picked up by coordinators, and we're doing the work afterwards to build capacity in different areas around those projects, and then get ready for a legislative session about a month in.
Well, great. Very good. So that's an overview from Kofi Hunt of the Legicamp Day on Saturday. And then do you know what happened on Sunday? That was a progressive activism training on issues as well, correct?
Yeah. On Sunday, we had Adam Green, who's one of the co-founders of Bold Progressives, or the PCCC, the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, which is an organization, a national organization based on electing good, strong progressives to office. And they're notably known for helping Elizabeth Warren. They did the campaign to draft her to run for the Senate. And then when she ran, they, for her campaign, raised $1 million. And yeah, even while she's in office now, they've done a lot of campaign drives, things like that, to support bills that she was trying to get through and really get those out there. So they're a really strong organization. They have a lot of veteran staff that's worked like campaigns all the way back to like the Hillary campaign and things like that. And so, and working in campaign beginning of 2000, So they basically came to talk to us about issue organizing in terms of crafting an issue, getting into media, and how you form a project and the goals, the strategy, tactics. And they gave us some really great tips. And I really felt like the activists in the room were better for the training.
Well, excellent. It sounds like such an excellent weekend. I was intending on going and got waylaid by my work schedule and just was not able to get there. And I'm very sorry that I missed it because I'm sure it was a great 2 days of events. Kofi Hunt with Awake Pinellas, thank you so much for appearing on Spectrum 360.
You're welcome. Anytime, Mark. Take care.
Thank you. Okay, Kofi Hunt. And I thank him for appearing on Spectrum 360 once again on relatively short notice. That was a great weekend. Okay, on to the next segment, the last segment for the program, and that is a preview of the film Monuments Men. It's in theaters now. I saw it this last Saturday, and it is excellent. This is the preview for the film Monuments Men.
While we must and will win this war, we should also remember the high price that will be paid if the very foundation of modern society is destroyed.
A Michelangelo joke to be made.
You're just the man to make it.
We have been tasked to find and protect art that the Nazis have stolen.
Well, the chaps are all very anxious to get started. We have your architect from Chicago, a sculptor, a director of design at the School of Fine Arts, and a few other experts in various fields of art.
How are the fellas making out?
Like Olympians.
We want to go into a war zone and tell our boys what they can and cannot blow up. That's the idea.
If you would just read the orders.
I'll tell you what these orders say. Don't knock out
Colonel
old
DeBilde.
Do not interrupt me, Lieutenant.
I think that went well.
We're going to start with a friend in Paris who's going to have some idea where the French art has been hidden.
How can I help you steal our stolen art?
The Nazis are taking everything with them, so we have to get as close to the front as we can.
Look at this. It says if Hitler dies or if Germany falls, they're to destroy everything. Everything.
We gotta move. They tell us who cares about art, but they're wrong. It is the exact reason that we're fighting for a culture, for a way of life.
What is all this?
People's lives.
Hitler wants everything.
It's your responsibility now.
What we're doing here.
You're gonna miss me so much when this is all over.
All hell's breaking loose here.
We have some unfinished business.
And that is the preview for the film Monuments Men. Now, this film is excellent. I clocked it in as 1 hour, 57 minutes, and 13 seconds. So it's a long film. Very well worth it. I recommend people going to it. It's an excellent production. It's an excellent story. And this is based on a true story. Now, it's a dramatization in some respects, so they make it an interesting film to watch. But the basic history is actually true and very, very interesting. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it was pitch perfect in terms of its script and in terms of balancing the humor and the seriousness of the subject and the seriousness of World War II. I thought they did a great job on that. They did a great job on recreating the era of the 1940s that this happened in. It's an excellent production, and it's very interesting, important history. It stars George Clooney, Matt Damon, John Goodman, Bill Murray, Kate Blanchett, and others. Very interesting and very good. And I highly recommend it. I'm really into that period of history. And actually, coincidentally, I've been reading a book that's about a third of it, approximately a third of this book, is about the Monuments Men. It's a book called Grey Wolf. Now, the book is actually about Adolf Hitler and what the Nazis did in terms of looting occupied countries. And it just happens to have a lot of information in this because it deals with what happened with Adolf Hitler and the loot that the Nazi Germans got from their occupied territories. So here I've been reading about this subject, and all of a sudden, to my surprise, there's a great film about this as well. So it was really serendipitous. And I want to read just a brief passage from this book, Gray Wolf. about one of the men who participated in this. Here's what he said. The Germans' retreat was so rapid that their army was barely able to implement the scorched earth policy demanded by Hitler. Nevertheless, many bridges and buildings were mined and booby-trapped, among them Chartres Cathedral, the 12th century Gothic masterpiece in Chartres, France. Captain Walker Hancock, the monuments man for the U.S. First Army, was quickly on the scene with an MFA&A demolition specialist, Captain Stuart Leonard. With infinite patience, Leonard defused the 22 separate demolition charges. When asked by another monuments man whether it was right to risk his life for art, Leonard responded, "I had that choice. I chose to remove the bombs. It was worth the reward," quote unquote. And what was the reward? Here's his answer. "When I finished, I got to sit in Chartres Cathedral, the cathedral I helped save, for almost an hour alone." Now, that is great. If you've ever seen photographs of Chartres Cathedral or been there, it's an absolute masterpiece. It's a fantastic building, and I hope to visit it one day myself. And that man saved that building. It was a priceless cultural heritage from the 12th century, and it was saved from being blown up by the Nazis. Now, a lot of art was not saved. The Bruges Madonna sculpture by Michelangelo was stolen from the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Belgium, and that was shipped off. And there's interesting scenes about that in the film, because they're looking for that piece in the film. And I'm not going to do a spoiler so that you don't know what happens and you have to go see the film. See the film. It's very well worth it. Okay, this has been Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 10th of February, 2014. I'm very happy to have been here with you. It was a great program. We're going to have another great Spectrum 360 next week for you. And I've had so much fun doing this program. This is an especially good one, I think. I just enjoyed it that much. I thank John Paul Rosa for appearing live, and Kofi Hunt for appearing via telephone. And we're going to have another great program for you next week. So we will see you then, a week from today. Thank you for listening. And remember, podcasts at tantalk1340.com. Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.
We can make it happen. Yeah,
we can make it.